Centennial Broadcasting presents Valley Feedback, a look at the people and issues making news in our community.
Welcome to the program. I'm Robert Allen. This week's guest is Brian McGraw, State Fire Marshal. Welcome to the show, Brian. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure to be here.
Let's start with the mission of the Virginia Department of Fire Programs.
Basically, the Virginia Department of Fire Programs is one of the agencies under the Secretariat of Public Safety and Homeland Security. And our primary mission, we really have two key functions. The first one is providing training to the fire services in Virginia. So firefighter training, rescue training, aircraft rescue firefighting, fire inspectors, fire investigators, fire instructors. We take care of all of that training. And then the other major side of the house is the State Fire Marshal's Office, responsible for code enforcement and enforcing the statewide fire prevention code in all state-owned properties and about 67% of the landmass of the Commonwealth, the jurisdictions that don't have their own local fire marshal. We also do some aid to localities grant administration, which is money that's passed on from the state to local jurisdictions to fund their fire services, and we manage that program.
Our conversation is being recorded during Fire Prevention Week. What is the focus this year?
The message that's been pushed out nationwide by the National Fire Protection Association is every second counts, plan two ways out. And it's really geared towards people having a home fire escape plan so that in the event of a fire or other emergency, they can get out of their houses. But it also applies to other places, your workplace, your school, if you're traveling and you're staying in a hotel, of always knowing two ways to get out in the event of an emergency.
Not only do you need to identify two ways out of each room, a safe meeting place is part of a plan as well.
Right. And what we tell people is know the two ways out. We encourage them to practice the plan at least twice a year, preferably more, with everybody that lives in the house. We recommend that they practice it at different times of the day, nighttime when people are sleeping, during the day when everybody's awake, and to have a meeting place once they get out, and once they get out, to stay out.
Is there help crafting a home fire escape plan?
Yes, there is. There's two sources. The primary source is the National Fire Protection Association, and their website is nfpa.org. And they actually have some links right on their homepage to the fire safety message. And they actually have a assisted template that you can use to draw a home fire safety plan. And it's available in both English and Spanish. And that is also linked from our website, which is vafire.com.
I'm Robert Allen, talking with State Fire Marshal Brian McGraw. How important are smoke alarms in alerting you that it's time to put that fire escape plan in action?
Smoke alarms are incredibly important because they provide very early warning in a lot of residential fires where we see fatalities. A lot of times the people that die in the fires are remote from the fire itself. It's the smoke and products of combustion that kill them. So smoke alarms are probably the most effective tool for giving you early warning so that you can get out of the house. And these days, just with modern construction and what we're putting into the homes in terms of furnishings, they burn a lot hotter and faster than furnishings and materials from even 15 or 20 years ago. And research is showing that, you know, from the time your smoke alarm activates, you can have as little as 2 minutes to actually safely get out of your house.
Well, how many smoke alarms do you need in your home?
You know, the saying, the more, the better. As a bare minimum, people should have at least one smoke alarm on every level of their house. The ideal situation, what the National Fire Protection Association recommends and what's actually required in new residential construction, is a smoke alarm in every sleeping room and then a smoke alarm in the common area, like the hallway serving each area that has sleeping rooms, and then one on each level of the house so that, you know, it really provides full protection. In older homes where people are adding them in, they're, you know, just a battery operated smoke alarm. So if one goes off, that's the only one that sounds. In new construction, they're actually required to be interconnected together and powered from the building's electric system so that if one alarm goes off, it causes all the alarms in the house to sound to give better notification.
With all the different types available, is there help kind of picking the right one for you?
Yes, and the NFPA has some guidance on their website as far as picking the right type of smoke alarm. But basically, there's three distinctions. One is the type of activation mechanism, a photoelectric detector versus an ionization detector. Photoelectric detectors kind of have an electric eye in them, so they require larger smoke particles to cause them to activate. Ionization detectors operate based on the electrical charge and the particles in the air, so they're more sensitive for detecting smaller smoke particles. And then you get some that are available that are a combination of both mechanisms. The other big distinction these days is the type of power supply. As recently as 4 or 5 years ago, really what was available was just 9-volt battery or 2 AA batteries, where we really had to push for replacing the batteries when you changed your clocks for daylight savings time, because those batteries would run out. Now, most of the smoke alarms that are available are 10-year lithium ion batteries inside. So you don't have to replace the batteries every year. They have a 10-year life cycle. And then at the end of the 10 years, you just replace the whole smoke alarm.
Robert Allen speaking with State Fire Marshal Brian McGraw. Well, there's been some recent cases locally here of home fires caused by improperly discarded smoking materials.
What we really stress, the safest thing to do is not smoke inside your home. If you need to smoke, go outside. If you're smoking outside, have a can or other non-combustible container that's filled with either sand or water that you can discard your smoking materials in. If you do smoke inside your house, you know, we highly recommend a large flat-bottomed, sturdy ashtray on a stable surface like a kitchen counter or a table that's not going to get knocked over by the pet or the kids. Once you put your smoking materials out, just like the ashes from your fireplace or the coals from your barbecue grill, you want to let them sit for at least 24 hours to make sure they're completely out. And even at that point, we recommend that you soak them with water before putting them into the trash, because they can smolder for quite a while after you think they're out, and people will dump their ashtray into the kitchen trash can. And then in the middle of the night, it's smoldered long enough, it breaks out into a fire and winds up being fairly devastating.
Cooler weather is moving in. What general safety advice should we keep in mind regarding home heating?
Home heating is one of the largest causes of home fires in the United States, and a lot of them are attributed to a lack of maintenance of the heating systems. Creosote building up in the flues from your gas furnaces or your fireplaces. The other big thing is combustible materials that are too close to the heating devices, particularly portable heaters. We recommend a minimum area of 3 foot clear around all heating appliances to combustible materials so that you don't run the risk. Even over a period of time, the heat coming off the appliance can dry out materials. They're not going to ignite instantaneously, but over a period of time, they'll dry out. They'll eventually get dried enough that they will ignite, and then you have a home fire resulting in it. The other thing we see a lot of times are clothing, blankets, things along those lines, a space heater in a bedroom, and it gets too warm, the comforter gets knocked off, comes in contact with the heater and winds up igniting. Another thing sometimes we will see is, particularly on the portable units, are pets knocking them over and causing fires. Newer heaters are required to have a safety mechanism, so if they do get knocked over, it cuts the power off to them, but there are still older heating units in existence that won't shut off when they get tipped over.
Wildfires in California have been receiving attention. Of course, California has unique wildfire issues, but Virginia's fall wildfire season is here as well.
Any sort of large-scale incident really comes down to planning and preparation. The Virginia Department of Emergency Management has a lot of information on their website for planning for disasters, wildfire or forest fire that spreads, a hurricane, flooding. And it's really having a plan, having an emergency kit together. So if you have to evacuate, you have things ready to go, you know where you're going to go, what route you're going to take. And from the actual outdoor burning or open burning, you know, this time of year, some localities do allow burning of leaves and brush. Check with the local jurisdiction to see whether or not they require a permit. Make sure that you have cleared the area around your fire, whether it's a campfire or a recreational fire or burning debris. Make sure you clear the area around it of dried grass and other combustibles so it can't spread. Some people have a tendency, hey, I've got a lot of brush, so let's make one big pile and light it off. And that really becomes the most hazardous because it goes on for a while. Once it gets going, it's hard to extinguish. So we recommend as small a pile as possible and then gradually add the material to it. No open burning when it's windy. We've had very dry conditions so that the fire hazard is up. Virginia Department of Forestry has warnings and restrictions for certain areas of the state, and again, local jurisdictions for requirements for open burn permits.
You started your career out as a volunteer. Please promote the general need for volunteers and the benefits of serving.
The majority of fire service is provided by volunteers around the country. It's getting harder and harder to recruit and retain volunteers. A lot of that is because as the fire hazards have changed, hazardous materials, faster and hotter fires, emergency medical services, the level of training that's required just to start running calls has increased dramatically. So it really takes a very large time commitment and a desire to serve, to give back to the community. We're very blessed in Virginia that we do have a large number of volunteer fire departments. And by them providing that service, it saves the taxpayers in those localities a lot of money, because if you didn't have the volunteers, the municipality would have to provide a paid service, which now you're talking, in addition to providing equipment and firehouses, having to pay salary and benefits. And there's always going to be that debate of which is better, career versus volunteer. And you know, a lot of it depends on the nature of the area. You get into Northern Virginia and Metro Richmond, where heavy populations, and just because of the call volume, it's become difficult over the years for the volunteers to sustain the level of service. So the career departments have taken over. But in the areas where the volunteer service is still going strong, it provides a great resource to the community. It provides a great tax savings, and it provides a reward to the volunteers because of that sense of accomplishment, that sense of pride in being an essential part of the community and giving back.
In closing, repeat how people can learn more about safety and other things the Virginia Department of Fire programs.
Our website is vafire.com, the National Fire Protection Association, nfpa.org. We've got links to various resources on our site. You can also follow us on social media, Facebook, just search for Virginia State Fire Marshal's Office, and we're on Twitter at VA Fire Marshal, and we push out safety messages, resources on a regular basis.
State Fire Marshal Brian McGraw, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Valley Feedback. We encourage your comments on today's program. Valley Feedback is a public affairs presentation of Centennial Broadcasting.